When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda White.
And this is Sam Dalton. And Amanda, we've switched places today.
I know, I was thinking that.
Amanda currently has a full face of makeup on, and I absolutely do not.
I really tried to channel you with the makeup, and and one side looks okay, but the other one does not.
I can tell. When you pointed out, I can tell.
My eyes don't look... My eye, I look like I have two different eyes today.
Are you using the marker?
Yeah, the marker, but it's like such a thin tip. You have to like bend it. And
So don't bend it.
But use it's too not firm.
Use the length of it. You kind of like, you don't have to worry about like using the tip and then bending it. You just like, you kind of use the length of it.
Well, I think I was able to do that on this side. Yeah, that, but then yeah, I just kept like really filling good. It in and it...
I know.
Got bigger and bigger.
It smells your fear.
I know.
It can feel that you're afraid.
I know. I'm just not practiced.
I know.
Enough.
You just have to do it. You just have to it every day.
I know. But now, like, whenever I put on makeup, it's so, like, alarming to people.
I know. I was like.
Yeah. Especially eyeliner. People don't recognize me. So, you know, I like to do a jump scare because. People are like, wow.
I straightened my hair last week and nobody knew what to do.
Last week? Why didn't you send me a picture of this?
2 weeks ago. I posted it to my stories. Okay. I didn't think you wanted a selfie of me.
I did. When I
took the picture, I thought about it and I was like, I don't think she wants like a glamour shot of me in her phone.
I definitely do with your hair. Okay. With your hair straightened. That's so interesting.
I'll pull it up and I'll show you very quickly. I think for anybody listening, I know I posted it to my stories and some people were like, what's going on? I'm like, just wanted to ruin my hairdresser's day.
Oh my God, that looks so good.
I know. He did such a good job. It lasted for about 10 minutes.
Oh, that's how my hair is with curls.
Because of the
humidity. If you put curls in my hair, it lasts for 10 minutes, no matter what temperature it is outside.
No, the humidity, absolutely. It just like, it started to like curl in and under. And I was like, okay, this isn't working. But regardless.
That's cute though.
Thank you.
We're going to do just like a fun episode today about some of our hot takes that if we offend you, please don't be offended. That was a really helpful thing to say.
If we offend you, just don't. That's really the long and short of it. Just don't bother letting us know. It's good for you to flex that muscle.
Yes. And like, you know, these are our very subjective opinions. We don't think we're right by any means.
No. But I guess I should give maybe a little bit of background on what brought this on. So I have been, since living in Florida, which is coming to a close in less than 24 hours. I know. I still hadn't been to Disney or Universal, which is about like an hour to an hour and a half from where I live. Mm-hmm. And I planned, so I just went last week. So today is the 23rd. So a week ago I was there and I had planned this trip all the way back in April. with my cousin. When I went out to visit my cousin back in Salt Lake City, she told me that she really wanted to go. And I was like, oh, well, I do too. So we'll just plan that for fall break. Then September, I realized I was moving and I was going to be moving the week after. And I was like, well, I still want to keep the trip because why not?
Yep.
And what we didn't realize was that the entirety of the South also has fall break that week. And the entirety of the South was at Disney World, specifically Magic Kingdom. On October 15th, all of the South was at Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because I was there. And
you counted.
I counted everybody. but no, actually, like, true story, that day, they hit capacity at the time of the fireworks.
Okay, what is capacity?
Every single one of the parks has a max number of people that are allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And once they hit that number, by law, they have to stop letting people in. There was actually quite a terrifying crush situation that occurred where – so the other thing that they do around the time of the fireworks – well, they do it every night. They, like, fence you off. They cut off certain walkways and they try to put everybody in specific areas and you can't stand in the walkways and it's a whole mess, which when you have a standard number of people, it's really not that bad. But then we got trapped on this bridge and there were so many people and everybody was kind of looking around because nobody was moving. And then we saw that the staff had like those lighted, you know, like the things you see on like the airplane tarmac.
Whatever.
And they were kind of guiding people. And so we started to move. And there were still so many people. And then two walkways converged into one. And it was, I've never experienced anything like it in my life. And it was the first time in my life I realized, oh, this is how people get trampled to death.
Oh, gosh.
One person is going to get skittish. And we're going to be like a herd of wildebeests in The Lion King. And I will be Mufasa. Like, it was because I am not tall. I couldn't see over people. I was just like completely at like shoulder, chest level with everybody. There were strollers everywhere. People started getting in fights because someone thought someone had stepped on their kid. People were starting to scream. People were starting to say they were having panic attacks. People were hyperventilating.
Jesus.
Then about two people in front of me, someone collapsed. Their family started CPR on them, had to have the medical crew come in. Then all the Disneyland or Disney World staff are screaming at us that we have to move. And we're like, I'm sorry, where would you like us to move to? And then people started shoving people with their strollers and like almost knocking people over into other strollers. It was just, it was the most unhinged experience I've ever had. So Magic Kingdom, I think, was like a unique experience just in terms of the crowd. So I was just observing everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not impressed with what I saw. And I actually have a list.
Well, I think, yeah, I think it sounds like you went the worst time.
The worst possible time.
Possible, maybe minus spring break. I mean, number one, I'm not like a crazy Disney person at all. Yeah. And we were talking about this last week. Like, sometimes I'm really envious of people who, like, love Disney or, like, love these, I don't know, people who are obsessed with Christmas or the, you know, like, I've gotten a little more into things since I've had a child, which has been nice and fun. But sometimes I'm just like, am I just, like, a cranky, judgmental, like, I feel like I would be, I would like my life more if I just was like, God, I'm so lit up by looking at characters. I don't know, like, I'm envious, even though I'm sort of judgmental, like, of Disney people that love it and are so lit up by it and so fulfilled. I'm just like, I don't think anything does that for me. Like, maybe live music. I think maybe Taylor Swift before this last album cycle where I literally feel stuffed with Taylor Swift and I just,
oh,
I need a break, but I keep being fed and I keep going back for more and eating it.
I know.
But yeah, sometimes I'm just like, I don't know, maybe these people have it right. Because they're so excited.
They're so excited. It's, well, I haven't seen people that excited at the park. I think that's what made me start to really consider, what is this concept of a Disney adult?
Yeah.
Because there's a very specific idea that you have, and it's a person that the second they're finishing a Disney trip, they're planning the next one. Mm-hmm. It's a holiday event for them. They find any reason to go. They get the t-shirts. They get the passes. They know how to get all of the reservations to the restaurant. They know all the lore. They have the favorite mm-hmm. characters. They have everything memorized, right? And I was doing a lot of thinking about this because there's also a Mormon component to this.
Yes.
Because yes. Mormons love Disney.
But why do you think they love Disney so much? Like, what is it about a person that loves, that is adjacent?
Let me kind of explore the religious component of it, which I think will lead into the average person.
Yeah.
So with the religious component, I think it's one of the only places in the world where you can go and guarantee that it is going to be 1,000% certified family friendly.
Yeah.
You're not going to be exposed to anything like sexualized or adult feeling in that way. Mm-hmm. Disneyland has far less alcohol than Disney World does.
Mm-hmm. Have you been to Disneyland?
Multiple times.
Okay. Yeah, see, you're much more certified in this. Literally, the last time I went to Disney World, for some reason, my high school took a trip to Disney World for our, like, trip. I don't know why. And I, like, wasn't into it and was much more into trying to pretend to be popular and, like, sneak alcohol and run away mm-hmm. from the boyfriend at the time I had, who I didn't like. So I literally went to Epcot, I think, and, like, mostly hung out by the pool and tried to flirt with people. And I haven't been to Disneyland. And before that, I was like a child and we went once. My parents were like, we have one Disney trip in us.
One.
In our lifetime. One. Maybe one more if we have grandkids. So we're going to go when you and your brother will both remember it. And that's it. And I think we went when I was like 8 and he was 4, or I was 10 and he was, 6.
See, I think that is a good age to go, actually, mm-hmm. because it still feels magical. I've been to Disneyland 5 times.
Because of the Mormon component, your friends
Utah
got.
Yes, and it's easy to get to. You just hop on I-15 and you don't stop until you hit LA. And then you take a left turn and you end up in Anaheim. So yeah, like Mormons love Disney because it's a very safe place. It's a guaranteed family-friendly place because at some point in your life, even when you become an adult, even if you're not married, chances are there are multiple people around you who do have children. And so it becomes this rite of passage that everybody wants to go because it's an easy thing to do and it's fun and you can go on rides and you eat good food and it's clean. It's very well kept. It's very well managed. Mm-hmm. And so I think and what I'm about to say encapsulates all Disney adults, regardless of if you find yourself to be a religious person or not. I think it's a place where emotional maturity is not required.
Mm. But I think people love that, right? They're like, I can be a kid. Yes. And that's where I'm like, somehow I can't be a kid. No matter what. Except maybe a little bit with my daughter. But even then, I'm really pushing myself.
There was something about this trip that I felt very different mm-hmm. going. I think I was looking around and it was shocking to see how many people looked absolutely miserable. Like truly, genuinely miserable. The only people that I would notice who seemed to be having a semi-decent time were people in my age range who didn't have kids or families that had... The youngest was maybe 8. And the most of the kids were like tweens, preteens, or teens. Those groups seem to be having the best time.
I think it's easy to get tricked. Like I was telling you this over the weekend that my mom's wish is to take Peyton on a Disney cruise, my daughter. And my mom was like, whoa, we got to do the park before we go on the cruise so that she'll know the characters, which I'm like,
if she watches the movies, no, she'll know.
No, right. Also, like, this girl doesn't like going to the zoo a lot of times because there's too much stimulation. She's not going to enjoy going to Disney. She will not speak sometimes to my parents because she feels shy, who she sees literally every week. You think that if a human-sized Moana comes up to her, she's going to be excited to talk to them? No. I think sometimes as parents, you have this, like, there's something about Disney where you feel like it's your duty as a parent to bring them there, and it's the most magical place. And I wonder too, like, I think it's also just like marketing is the happiest place on earth. I think it's like, I don't know. I try to check myself though sometimes because I feel like I'm so on the opposite side of the spectrum of like, literally my husband and I have taken Peyton on an airplane 4 times. And it was a 1-hour flight to North Carolina, an hour and a half to visit my parents. And the only semblance of a vacation we have gone on is to my parents' house in North Carolina. And that, because I'm just like super realistic about like, it's so much work taking care of her. I literally have taken so little time off since I've had her. And obviously I love her. Please don't judge me. But it's so much work. And it's like a lot of times taking a vacation with a young child is just parenting in a different location without your stuff. And it sounds pretty miserable to me. And that's why I just don't really do it. And I would literally rather work or I would rather like take a day or two off and have daycare. And I like plan all of my life around when daycare is closed. But also, like, maybe I have a really low tolerance and I am, which my husband does say that I have a low tolerance for having a toddler. So I wonder just how much this is also, like, social media and marketing. Because I even fall into it, even though I know the reality of having a 2.5-year-old, you have to decide what's worth it for you. And I just think, like, in the age of social media, we're so obsessed with, like, collecting experiences sometimes for ourselves and our kids that, yeah, we do things that are not actually worth it. Okay, so if you're listening to this episode and feeling like, oh my gosh, I could actually really use a therapist, we've got you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, has therapists licensed in 43 states across the country. This is also where Sam and I work, so if you're interested in working with one of us, reach out to us at therapyforwomencenter.com. And if we aren't a fit, like I said, we have therapists who can definitely help you. All the therapists are hired by me, trained by me, handpicked by me, and we really back and support our therapists. We vouch for them, unlike some of these big online therapy platforms. Also, if you're local to the Philadelphia area, we have 3 office locations there. So I would love for you to go to our website, therapyforwomencenter.com, and check it out. I've been asking Mike to take me to a cooking class for like 4 years.
And tonight was the night.
And tonight, in his defense, I'm like a picky eater. So he's like, all of the classes that look good, you're not going to want to eat this. But he found a ravioli class. I was like, there is going to be beef in one of the raviolis. It's like, I'm like, yes, I eat beef. Stop. I just don't eat. You know,
you're
most
setting me
beef.
Up for failure.
I don't eat steak. I only really eat ground beef.
Anyway. It depends on the shape it's in.
Yeah. The texture. That's a thing texture. That I can go off on. People do not think that texture is important enough in food. And I believe texture trumps taste.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think if I don't got something with some type of crunch in it.
Yes.
No. If it feels like mush, I almost want to
yes. get it. Most cookies are too gooey and mushy. Like, give me an Oreo instead. I'll take an Oreo.
So you want like a crisp. You almost want like a biscuit.
I sometimes do. I will take that over mush. But my favorite, like in the ideal scenario, it is like a cookie that is crispy on the edges and like chewy in the middle. So there is some crisp. Mm. Or like, I don't know if you've ever had a Levain cookie.
Yes.
Which I didn't think I would like Levain cookies, right? Because no, they are advertised so as like big mounds. But they're yeah, crispy on the top and on the bottom. But like a crumble cookie is just mush with extreme amounts of sugar on top that is more mush.
I also remember when Crumble launched in Utah. I remember starting to hear about it. And their quality has plummeted since they started doing the franchise world. They're like dough. They barely are cooked. I don't like their flavors. It's too much. I don't like it. And now they're getting into like mini cakes. I feel that people put too many chocolate chips in chocolate chip cookies.
I can see that.
I don't like when the ratio of like cookie to chip is equal or chip is greater than cookie.
Yeah.
I like the base of a chocolate chip cookie and I want to be able to taste it.
That's fair. I don't love the base of a chocolate chip cookie, so I don't really care. But I feel very strongly about the proportions of cream-filled things and cakes with icing.
Like, what's
everything has too much icing. Like, I don't know how people eat double-stuffed Oreos. A regular Oreo has too much cream for me.
Really?
And you should see me destroy an Oreo because I, like, take half of it off.
Oh, you have to twist it.
No, but I, like, take half of the cream out. It's too much.
It's too much. So you literally like just cut down half, scrape it out, and then wow, you really are – you like biscuits. you don't want a cookie. You want a biscuit.
I guess so. I mean, the word biscuit isn't really super in my vocabulary because unlike you, I'm not a consumer of London British culture.
Okay. Well, for the people listening to, I'm not talking about like a baked biscuit.
Yeah.
Like a biscuit that you would have like at breakfast at Cracker Barrel. No. A biscuit is like a very thin, what we Americans would call cookie, but it's like it has a perfect snap to it. Mm-hmm. Like there's a perfect type of crunch. So
very, very British baking show of you to explain that so well.
Thank you. I could be a judge.
Yeah, I think I do love biscuits. I love the texture of a crunch.
How do you feel about brownies?
They have to be chewy enough. They have to be like, I love the edge of a brownie.
Same.
For sure. Like I'm the dense, crisp part is the best. But yeah, in general, most baked goods I don't think are good because the first thing to go is texture.
So, okay, if we swing back to the icing question, what is the appropriate level of icing for you on a cake? Do you not want any in the middle?
I will take some in the middle. It needs to be like 2/3 to 1/3. There needs to be more cake than icing. So often when icing is in the middle, it is like an even amount of cake and icing or sometimes more icing. I don't want a mouthful of icing. Also, everything is too sweet. Like there's a bakery by me, Clementine. You've been to Clementine with me.
I've been to Clementine.
And I think they're so incredible because they make incredible pastries and baked goods and they're not sickeningly sweet.
Okay, I will say, in the right mood, I kill for a corner piece of a sheet cake that has like the frosting edge. But sometimes I kind of – maybe this is like my addiction coming out, my sugar addiction coming out. Have you ever had something that's like so sweet it feels like your mouth is vibrating?
Yes. Yes, it's horrible. That's why I don't like it.
Sometimes I'm kind of like, oh yeah. Like – like it's like a lot and your eye is almost twitching and you're like, wow, like this is dessert. That's not often, but sometimes I'll get like that perfect bite of it's just predominant icing.
Also, how do you feel about – have you had Girl Scout cookies lately?
Not lately, but in my life.
Because one of our friend's children is a Girl Scout. So we got Girl Scout cookies. And I'm like horribly I think their quality has gone way down.
Really?
Yeah. Their Thin Mints are horrible now.
Since when?
I don't – like the past couple years. I don't know. If you want a good Thin Mint, normal brands of cookies.
Yeah.
Like I think they're like Goody Girls and yeah. I think, I don't know, some other like fake healthy, not healthy cookie brand at Whole Foods makes like a, you know, a thin mint. Those are great. But yeah, the Girl Scout ones are like not, it's like the, you know how when chocolate gets like white sort of?
Yes.
Like chalky. I don't know why. You can explain that to me as a baker. Why does that happen? But that's what all of the Girl Scout cookies have. Like the chocolate doesn't taste chocolatey because it's like chalky.
That means it's just poor quality chocolate.
Yeah. It's like I even tried to put them in the freezer.
It's something to do with the like milk fat ratio. Also, I think as we're kind of talking about this topic of controversial opinions.
Yes.
When I posted about the Disney fiasco and I was getting people's opinions on Disney, I'll preface it this way. I feel like I am someone that enjoys Disney, but I am nowhere near a Disney adult at all. I don't consider myself in that territory in any way.
I have a friend who's like a Universal adult. She goes to Universal.
See, Universal I can kind of understand a little bit more because I think the Harry Potter element is interesting.
It is cool.
But then that gets into a Harry Potter adult. I think that's a fair conversation.
Yeah,
there is a little bit of like – it can, in the right light, be seen as I think an immature interest, which is what I would classify as like a Disney adult. It feels a little frivolous.
But also sometimes I'm just like, these are the people that are happy. Like,
right.
Wouldn't it be great if I was this happy about seeing Mickey Mouse and like nothing makes me happy like that. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm envious and I'm like, I'm too judgmental. I think about things way too much. I'm too analytical. And if I just enjoyed, you know, simpler things. But also this is why I struggled to become a parent because I was like, I don't love these childish things.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a bad parent. Like my house is not decorated for Halloween at all. And I like go over to people's houses and they like the insides of their house are decorated. I'm like, I have two pumpkins. I don't know. My mom tries to give me all of her like tchotchkes and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know. I envy the people that are so excited and happy to pull out all of their seasonal decor every season. But that is just not me. Except for Christmas.
Oh, Christmas is different. The last 2 years I've been incredibly depressed because I've moved 2 Octobers in a row. And so I have not been able to. But I actually just now, I have rid myself of all of my decor. I'm starting over.
Really?
I'm a new woman. I'm turning 35 in 2 weeks. I'm like, I can't. I have to start over.
Yeah.
That's.
Did you bring a lot from Utah here?
I did. I did a little bit of a clean out, but I brought almost everything. And then now I'm like, I don't want this anymore. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's not who I am. And I'm sure someone would be like, well, then what are you? And I would be like, not Hobby Lobby. Nothing wrong with Hobby Lobby, but my deconstruction has led me to not want to go there anymore.
Well, I think that's a really fair, interesting point, too, of how as we change our decor changes. Yes. I mean, it's really funny because I went through this phase when I was in early recovery of being really obsessed with being, like, mentally ill is the only way I can say it.
I just wanted to be unwell.
Well, I just was unwell and I was unwell for so much of my life. And then I got sober and then like all my friends were sober. So we all like would joke about being unwell. And it just like I used to have this shirt that I was obsessed with that said more issues than Vogue.
Whoa.
And I thought it was so cool and so chic. And I would wear it all the time.
More issues than Vogue. Oh, my God. I can see. As someone that worked on an inpatient psych unit, I can see someone like coming out in the morning in that shirt and all of us, the staff, being like, Jesus Christ on a bike.
Totally.
That is so good. But yeah, it's edgy. It makes you edgy. Mm-hmm. You're like, talk to me about my problems.
And I felt like I had like hid my problems for so long that now I was just like, this is me. Take it or leave it. So yeah, I had to get rid of a lot of like that sort of stuff when I like became – I don't know, when I got married and things like that, because I was just like, I don't really relate to this anymore. Like I used to have a lot of those like crochet pillows that say, catchy phrases, right? I don't know what they are.
That was very millennial.
It was.
Very like 2013 Tumblr millennial vibes.
Yes. Like I used to have coasters that would say, with like those pictures of like women from the 50s that would be like, don't get me started about my sleeping pills or, you know, like things like that.
It's wine o'clock.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We were into that for a moment. But I also think that led into like the wine mom vibe, right? Which was a very real, I think, millennial Gen X phenomenon.
Yes.
As social media came to be. However, totally. I think we're kind of coming on this larger issue because what I brought up was I wanted to read some of the things that people
before
responded
I cut you.
To. Oh, no, you're fine. That was an important aside. As a result of my feelings about Disney, realizing that I think I was in a space where I clearly liked this much less than everybody else I was around. Even though everybody seemed violently unhappy, everybody was dressed up. I was not dressed up. I was not themed. Even my cousin had on a t-shirt. I did not. And so I was kind of recognizing like, ooh, I'm here for the vibes. And even the vibes aren't hitting. So I went in my stories on the second day and asked people, what are the things that you know most people like that either you don't like or you go along with because you feel like you're supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
What I tried to do was pick one that represented like multiple that I got about the same topic. So the first one that I noted was the beach. Cruises, which I know you feel strongly about, as do I, in the reverse. The next one was weddings, showers, and birthday parties, which I thought that one was like, we could almost do an entire episode on that.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about the beach as someone who has had to like the beach sort of? I mean, it is an interesting thing when you move to Florida because you kind of have to convince yourself that you're a beach person, I feel
like. Yes. I have always enjoyed the beach. When I have the chance to go, I'm very happy to go. I find it a bit of a rigmarole.
It is.
I find it a bit of a – and I again, like I don't even have kids that I have to worry about – chucking the toys and the chairs and this and that, which is why I always went to Clearwater because I just rented the cabana for the day. That was just what I did. The best $50 I've ever spent. And I'm here for 6 hours. Lovely. So I like it. And living near it was something that was fun. But what I realized was it's not a pull to me. You know, people like have signs in their house that's like, the salt water is calling. I don't feel that.
I get that. I mean, I really dislike – I didn't love the beach growing up. I don't love sand. It is a problem for me. I just really struggle. And especially like when you grow up in New Jersey, which you grew up in New York, so you probably went to the Jersey Shore. You have to drive like an hour and a half to the beach and you go for the whole day and then you have to get back in the car and you like are trying to like desand yourself in like a gross bathroom. And then you have to sit in the sand. It was very challenging for me and I didn't love it. I also don't like waves very much.
Same.
I don't understand these people who are like, I love to body surf. just like, how do you even body surf? No interest, which is why I like Florida beaches, at least on the Gulf.
Because
they're very calm and there's no waves, which is actually really relaxing and nice. And I do actually really enjoy the beach here because it is very different compared to my eyes are very sensitive to salt water. So I don't like to be like, you know, smashed over the head by waves and not be able to get out because the waves are sucking you back in and it's such a drama.
See, when salt water gets in my mouth, I'm like a 5-year-old. Like I have to, I'm like, like I can't do it. I immediately need like Gatorade. Like I need something to save my life. I can't cope. Which actually, the 5-year-old's not fair because the last time I was at the beach, there was like a troop of children under the age of 10, just like full mouth
that's
in the water.
I was gonna say, as a 5-year-old, I would think they're like drinking the water. Maybe
they are, but
don't care.
The Gulf was very nice because it was actually the first time I was like in the water, like floating.
Yes.
But I fight really hard to keep my head above the water.
Yeah.
But I'm not someone that let's just say I'm not sad driving away tomorrow.
Yeah, I get it.
That's
and I think, yeah, I mean, I should go to the beach more,
yeah,
to be honest.
What are you, I was 10 minutes from St. Pete Beach?
No, I'm like 20, 15.
Oh, but I guess I could
no,
see
we
that
should go more. I mean, the sunsets are pretty incredible. But yeah, it's just like when you have a kid, it is such a rigmarole. And like my husband, unfortunately, is like the king of stuff. Like everything that we do, he needs like the right gear for it, which I disagree with and judge him for. Because I grew up as a very anti-gear family where we would make fun of people that brought gear because you're too high maintenance and everything's fine and what a giant waste of money. So yeah, I don't know. But I do think the people who love the beach, I mean, I get it if you have a beach house.
I get it.
But also it's freezing in, you know, the North Atlantic beaches, which – but I feel like a lot of people who love the beach, they like love the whole environment of it. Like if you have a beach house, it's like being there. It's having a boat. It's going on – you know, it's like all your friends. It's such an institution. I mean, it was a reason why I was like happy to leave Philly, honestly, because I was like, if you live in Philly, you like need a beach house, essentially, because
yeah, you have to have
like
a getaway.
The entire city just moves there over the summer. And if you want to have any friends, all of your friends are at the beach. And it sucks because everyone has like multi-generally, you know, their parents have houses. And but I mean, if you have a big family with a beautiful beach house, that sounds great. Free childcare. Amazing.
My controversial opinion, to go back to Mike's need for gear, is I don't want to have to do anything that requires gear.
That's fair.
Even for the beach. It worked well while I was here because I could go directly to my home and shower. And I'm only, I mean, I'm an hour drive, but it's an easy drive. And I'm by myself, so I don't have to worry about like cleaning off baby. But I'm not a camper.
Oh, I hate camping.
I'm not a climber. I'm not a, we have to have the tent and the chair and the this and the that. I want to go where I can pay somebody to have already provided that for me. Yeah. Same thing. Like I'm a resort girly through and through. Mm-hmm. I want to go to a resort. I don't want to be like, oh, we can just stay here and then lug it all over here. No.
Yeah.
No. I work too hard. I work too hard to work that hard on a trip vacation. No.
Well, have you heard of the phenomenon of type 1 versus type 2 fun? Do you know what this is?
No. I've heard the difference between like a vacation and a trip.
Yeah. It's sort of like that. It's like type 1 fun is stuff that is like relaxing and fun in the moment. And type 2 fun is like stuff that you're like proud of after, you know, it's like camping, hiking, things like that, which I have a little bit of type two in me of like I love to ski and hike and do things. You know, skiing is a very gear heavy activity.
What I have a hard time with is when I need to set up my living space. That's what I'm talking about. If I have to build a home, I'm not interested because I pay for a home.
I think that's an extremely good way of putting it.
Even if like I married a guy one day that's like, I would love to have a boat. I don't think I'd need a boat. If he wanted to care for it, fine. I think there's something in that. Like toys I can kind of understand more. Yeah. We weren't a toy heavy family growing up, but I can understand it. But if I need to build my shelter, if I need to construct something to keep me safe from the elements, either during the day or overnight, or I need to prepare to go to the bathroom in the wild, I am not interested in that.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah, I do not like camping at all. Like the idea of it is interesting, but no, not actually. No. Agreed.
Should we battle about cruises?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
How many cruises have you been on?
Zero.
I love when people hate cruises and they've never been on a cruise, but I get it. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of really bad PR for cruises over the past couple of years.
When I am somewhere, I like to plant myself in that place.
Mm.
What I don't like to be told is that I have to be back to the boat by 2 p.m. or I'm stranded in Aruba and some rescue crew is going to have to come get me. I don't want to live like that. Because when I, a couple of years ago, I went to Atlantis in Nassau, Bahamas, and that is a cruise stop off that people yes. can choose to do, like the water park that's there. And the day we did the water park, we were in line for one of the rides, the slides, I should say. And we had like our giant tubes that we got. And all of a sudden someone was like, oh shit, what time is it? And the whole family was like, oh my God. And then they realized they had like 7 minutes to get back to the boat. And it was just mm-hmm. this huge stressor. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like the idea of the excursions stresses me out. I get it. Like if you just manage your time, you're fine. But then I don't like being that crunched. And then I don't like being around that many people and feeling like I can't get away and having to eat with the same people.
Well, you don't have to. They did change a lot of that.
Did they?
So you can have your own table now and you don't have to do that.
Oh, anymore. I didn't realize.
So that's very okay. different. But okay. I agree with that. I have like a mostly love, but also like hate relationship with cruises. I mean, it is really nice in terms of like, especially since I've had a child, you don't have to think at all. Like I get the thing about feeling like you have to be back on the boat and stuff. But lately, what my husband and I like to do is we like to go on a cruise to a bad place. So we don't care, on a really nice, great ship. And we like upgrade sense. Our room, so we have like more. I mean, it's expensive-ish to do this. It's not like, you know, cruises are pretty affordable, but if you do this, it's not a super affordable way to do it. But you go and it's a very nice to like turn your brain off and just yeah. kind of be pampered the whole time and not have to do anything. So we love going with like our friends and we just drive down there and then we go to a place that I don't care about getting off the boat. And you get a great meal. You get entertainment every night, which like I love activities. I am an activity person. Give me lots of activities to choose from. They do a really good job on cruises of making you feel really special, which I
yeah,
really
like
enjoy.
Yeah, the animals, like the towel animals.
Yes, they're just like, it's amazing that you're on this ship and we're in this together. And it is a remarkable journey that
we're on. A family now.
Yes. Yes. Aww. And they're just like, I don't know, the cruise director is just so enrolling and they're just like, I don't know how to explain it. They just like, and I also am I'm very interested in how well run they are. Like they are incredibly well run. They have some of the best service anywhere because they have to, because again, it has to be so well run. So I'm like super obsessed with logistics and like looking at how things run. So I love like watching how they like manage things. I think mm-hmm. that's really fascinating. But yeah, I think if you do a cruise in a specific way, it's great. I mean, it's also like, it is really nice to constantly have access to a gym and constantly like have access to, you know, a lot of things. And especially when I was like growing up and I had so much anxiety, it was nice for us to all like go somewhere and you can kind of like be apart but come back together. But it is stressful when you go to like a really nice place and you want to have as much time there.
Yeah.
It sucks. And especially like I've been on a cruise to like Santorini, which is like one of the most incredible yeah. places that you want to be there as long as possible. And literally they need to start making laws that forbid too many cruise ships from going, because it used to be cruise ships were limited by the amount of ports that were there. But now cruises have the ability to like floating dock in the middle of.
Yeah. And then they transport people off on the little boats.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. like when I went to Santorini, I think it was like 4 cruise ships all docked there at the same. And it was like, it takes hours to get off. It was, yeah, not great.
No.
So
I would do an Alaskan cruise. I would go sit on my balcony and look at some orcas. That's what I would do. Maybe you and I will go on a cruise together.
I think it is fun to go on a cruise with friends. It's just a great yes. thing to do. It's why like huge families go on
do
them
it.
And stuff
right.
like
yeah,
that.
Right, yeah, because everybody
it
be
is,
together.
And I do have to say I'm excited about they have childcare.
Yeah, so. They have like the kids
it is really nice. So I'm sure my child will hate it, but I'm going to try to force her to – enjoy the kids club because, again, I am at a point in my life where I just realistically, the idea of taking my child on a real vacation does not sound like a vacation. It sounds like a trip.
That's insanely valid.
And I feel bad because I see these parents and they're like making memories, you know, but I'm just like, I need to be realistic about my capacity. I am hopeful when she turns like 4-ish, and especially since I only have one, that maybe we'll be able to be better travelers. But I see the – I mean, God bless them. Like one of my best friends, she spent her maternity leave abroad traveling.
With her newborn?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So, you know, some people are like that, and I really wanted to be a mom that was like chill and cool and able to handle it. But I'm just not – like my body breaks down when my toddler has a meltdown in front of other people. I should be less sensitive about it. But I just like physically cannot convince my body that something horrible isn't happening.
I empathize with that. It sucks. It's really hard to feel like you're causing a scene when you're someone that normally really likes to blend in and you're being forced to stand out in a very aggressive way that nobody is excited about. I would actually do one of those river cruises, like the European ones. My great aunt, who has money, she swears by river cruises. Swears by them.
You have to enjoy being on a small boat with the same group of small people. So you will have to socialize with people who you don't like a lot.
Yeah, because it's smaller.
My friends that have gone on one and my parents who have gone on one, they were just like, it's just like you have to – you're with like 100 people. So – you really get to know people. But yeah, I don't know. I wish I could explain better how much they make you feel so special when you go on a cruise. But I guess I'm just a sad little person that really likes to feel special.
I want to know that they want me here.
The most, they're just like, it's amazing that you're here. And like, this cruise wouldn't be the same without you.
You're like, wow, thank you. My inner child feels so held.
Yes, and
right now.
They're like, they try to be like inspiring with like the people that are on board. Like they always, the last day of the cruise, like parade people out that made the cruise happen and you clap for everyone. And I like love it. I don't, you know, they're like.
Amanda, that shocks me.
What? That I like
knowing
that?
Knowing you. That you like that. That really does.
I know. Because I'm normally antisocial or why?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't talk to them.
I just give them credit.
I like to feel like I'm a part of something without having to do the effort of it. I think that's what it is I feel connected to these people because they treat you like, again, you have like the same waiter a lot of times and they just like think you're incredible and they're just like, what can I do for you? And it's not too, like some cruises, it's over the top and it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
it's a little too much.
I really love celebrity cruises and I think they're kind of like a good middle ground with it. But you get to like learn about where, because it is kind of cool that these people like travel, you know, they leave their families for 6 months at a time. Even the captain does that and stuff. So you kind of like get to know some people, but again, I don't have to like actually be friends with them or really put myself out there, but I get to feel part of something bigger than myself. And
that's really powerful.
I guess that's it.
I'm really happy for you.
I'm going on a cruise soon, guys, next month. So woo-hoo! I will be able to come back and explain.
Yeah. Tell me the replay.
Okay. I will. Well, let us all know, guys, if you would like us to do a whole episode. I also got some people that would really like, and I think you're the right person to talk to about this, Sam, is people talking about just, you know, the incessantness of baby showers, bridal showers, and how we need to think about our friends who are single because it's ridiculous.
I have a tremendous amount of thoughts. And in my question box, I got so many of those. So we can do that. Let us know. And as per usual, anything that you can do to rate, review, share, subscribe, get the word out would mean the absolute world to us. We have the Substack, which is where we do reviews of all of the episodes. And then I'm posting additional content every week. And we have our bonus episodes on there as well. And you kind of get like a different a different level of access, and we really love it over there. And anything that you could do to get the word out about anything, share, you know, your favorite episodes with people, share it to social media, it would mean a lot. And if you haven't left us a review, you can leave us one, preferably if it's good, but I'm not going to police you.
And please only leave us a review if it's good.
Just please only be nice to us. But we can handle it. That's all.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.